For our scripture reading this morning, we turn in God's Word to Psalm 65. Psalm 65. Texts for the sermon this morning are the last verses of the chapter, verses 11 through 13. We'll read the whole of Psalm 65. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. And then these last verses are the text for our sermon. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. Thy paths drop fatness, they drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks, the valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy, they also sing. Read the Word of God that far this morning. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, Thanksgiving Day is an opportunity for us to reflect upon all that God has provided for us in an earthly and material sense. In that way, Thanksgiving Day corresponds to Prayer Day in the springtime. Back in March, we gathered together in order to hear God's Word and to pray for His blessing upon the upcoming planting season and the growing season. Now at the end of the year, after the farmers have taken in the harvest, we gather together now today to express our thanks to God for all that He's provided for us. It's important for us to do so, to begin the day here in God's house, to receive instruction from His Word with respect to how we are to view and to use those good earthly gifts. There are so many temptations that we face in this area of our life, so many temptations to worldly mindedness and to covetousness and jealousy. We face such a pressure and an onslaught from the world with their crass materialism. It's good for us to be reminded and instructed from the Word of God as to how we are to view and to make use of the good earthly gifts that God provides to us. Psalm 65 is one of the fullest and most beautiful and most poetic of descriptions God's provision at the harvest time. Some speculate that this psalm was written by David under the inspiration of the Spirit at a time when the people of Israel had been threatened by an enemy, but God had delivered them and drove the enemies away and therefore preserved the harvest of Israel from being overrun and devoured. Others speculate that this psalm was written after a significant period of drought. Then, after lean years, God sends an abundance of rain and crowns the year with an abundant harvest. Those are possibilities, but the fact of the matter is we don't know for certain the circumstances in which this psalm was written. And therefore, that word of our text has a broad application to God's people throughout her history as God provides for her an abundance of earthly things. And in general, in our society, and in general for us in the year 2020, God has provided in abundance. Having received much from the hand of the Lord, our response is and must be a response of deep gratitude and wholehearted praise to the God who crowned the year with His goodness. Let's consider this word of God this morning, taking as our theme the year crowned with God's goodness. First of all, let's consider what this means. Secondly, what this reveals. And then thirdly, how we respond. The year crowned with God's goodness, what this means, what this reveals, and how we respond. Imagine that you stand with David and the people of Jerusalem on Mount Zion. That's what the psalm says in verse 1. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. Picture David and the people of Israel and us with them standing on this mountain on which the city of Jerusalem is built and looking down over the walls at all of the fields and the meadows that surrounded the city. As we look out from the top of that mountain at the surrounding countryside, we see an abundant harvest that's waiting to be taken in. That's the picture that's described here in Psalm 65. In a number of ways, the psalm indicates the great abundance that is there for the people of Israel. Verse 12 says they drop upon the pastures of the wilderness. Literally, the pastures of the wilderness drip and overflow. And that phrase already indicates the extent of the abundance that has been provided. We would expect the good ground, the good farm ground that's been plowed up and planted to produce an abundance, but it says that the pastures of the wilderness drip and overflow. That's a reference to the unused and the uncultivated ground. Untouched by any farmer, any plow, even the pastures of the wilderness drip and overflow with an abundance. The end of verse 12, the little hills rejoice on every side. Literally, the hills are girded with joy, and the figure there is of clothing and attire. The little hills are girded, they're clothed, they're draped over with such an abundance that we can say they're girded with joy. That same figure of clothing follows through in the next verse, verse 13. The pastures are clothed with flocks. As we stand on Mount Zion and we look out at the meadows where the sheep are kept, it appears to us as if the The meadow is clothed with the flocks. There is such an abundance. There's been such a healthy year with the birth of many lambs in the flock, so that the field is covered with these sheep, as if the field itself is wearing and covered by the wool of the sheep. And verse 13 now speaks of the valleys. The valleys also are covered over with corn. Literally, they're enveloped, they're shrouded, they've wrapped around themselves a scarf or a shawl of grain. In the valleys, in the good planting ground, there is such an abundance of grain that's grown and that's waiting to be taken in at the harvest. All of that has been provided by the hand of God. David reminds the people of Israel and emphasizes to them that what they have received has come to them from the hand of God. Verse 11, in reference to God, "Thou crownest the year with thy goodness." And the preceding verses indicate God's doing of that. Verses 9 and 10 indicate God's work in the springtime. In the springtime, God provided the seed to the farmers. God is the one who plowed up the ground. God is the one who provided an abundance of timely rain. God was sovereign over sun so that there was the right amount of sunlight so that the grain grew. God blessed the springing grain, so that it grew and it prospered throughout the growing season. And now our text describes the harvest time. And in the harvest time, we can say then God has placed a crown upon the year, the crown of His goodness. At the end of the year, God conducts the coronation ceremony. And He crowns the year with His goodness. He encircles the whole of the year, encompasses the whole of the year with His goodness from springtime to harvest. And then verse 11 goes on to say, "And thy paths drop fatness." Literally, "thy chariot tracks drip or overflow with a fatness or and abundance." The word paths is literally chariot tracks. An earthly king would send his chariots into another country to rape and to pillage and to destroy so that there would not be a harvest for that enemy nation. But the chariot tracks, as it were, of God as He rides over His people drip and overflow with a fatness and an abundance. And the reference is especially to God's path through the sky, the clouds as they pour forth rain in abundance for the growth of the plants. God rides, as it were, over the fields. His paths drip with a fatness and abundance. And the point is, God is the one who supplied to the people this rich, abundant harvest. How important for us to remember that truth. God has provided us with much. We can look back on the year 2020, and in many ways, we have received much. It's not true for everyone universally. There may be some of God's people who've experienced poverty in this past year, some whose business has been hurt by certain restrictions that have gone on in this past year. And there may be people of God in other parts of the world, the Philippines, for example, where they've not received much. In fact, some who may have lost all of their earthly possessions in a typhoon. Jesus reminds us in Matthew 26, verse 11, "For ye have the poor always with you." Not only is that true for certain individuals, but that can happen broadly and generally. God at times sends years of abundance, but God also at times sends lean years. And we know that the abundance that God provides can very easily and quickly be taken away from us. Which reminds us that though we receive these earthly things from the Lord with thanks, we don't set our hearts on them. These earthly things do not consume us. They're not at the heart and the center of our life. So that our soul focuses upon the earthly, the things that are passing and soon gone, to set our hearts on the things which are above and to seek first the things of the kingdom of heaven. There may be some who have experienced lack and want, but generally speaking in our society and generally speaking for us, God has provided an abundance in this year. Many of the farmers report receiving a good harvest from the Lord with good, even unexpected yields in their corn and in their soybeans. And for us generally, God has provided an abundance of daily bread. We pray to God for daily bread and God is pleased often to give to us well beyond that. We have refrigerators and freezers and pantries that are well supplied with food, more than what we need just for today, but enough perhaps to provide for us for a week or beyond. And if we lack something, we can quickly and easily go to the store and obtain that thing. Many of us will sit down today with family at tables that are loaded down with an abundance of good food. And then there are all of the other earthly things that God provides. Jobs. And through those jobs, the money whereby we're able to purchase our daily bread and to pay the bills. Nice homes, warm clothing, and nice vehicles, and doctors, and medicine, and all of the rest, all of the good earthly things that God has entrusted to our care. We have much. And we receive those things from the hand of God. We acknowledge today that the Lord crowns the year with His goodness. It's His paths that drip with fatness. He's the one that clothes the hills with joy. He's the one that envelops the valleys with the springing grain. All from the hand of the Lord. Too easily we forget that. Part of the difficulty for us is that we live in such a way so far removed from the earth and our dependence upon the earth. There are some who are farmers, and yet the crop that they grow ordinarily is not something that they themselves take into their home and eat. It gets shipped off and sold elsewhere. And for the rest of us who aren't farmers, we live so far removed from the earth and the Lord's provision through the earth. The food that we buy at the grocery store may come from all over the world, from California or from some other place on the other side of the globe. We don't see as that grows out of the ground and is harvested and processed. All we see is the grocery store. It's easy then to forget our dependence, not on the earth, but the Lord's provision to us through the earth. And in our abundance, it's very easy for us to forget about God. Proverbs 30, verse 9. As we're taught to pray neither for poverty nor riches, the danger with riches is this, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? We have much. We so easily forget about the Lord, about our total dependence upon Him from day to day to provide us with what we need. And sinfully, we trust in ourselves. We trust our own strength, our own work ethic, our own business acumen, and our own good financial planning to provide our needs from day to day. What we must remember is that we receive these things not on account of our own strength or our own supposed wisdom and ingenuity. We receive these things from the hand of the Lord. The Lord is the one who provides what we stand in need of. The Lord is the one who supplied to us all that He has in the year 2020. It's the Lord who has crowned the year with His goodness, who's conducted the coronation ceremony for this year by placing the crown of the harvest upon this year. What does that reveal to us? What's revealed to us is the fatherly goodness of God to us as His people. The Lord has crowned the year with His goodness. God's goodness is, first of all, an attribute of Himself. God is good, the supreme and highest good. God is ultimate perfection. In Him there is no spot, no blemish, no weakness, no sin. And God delights in Himself as the highest, the supreme good. And the God who is good is the overflowing fountain of good, who in His goodness provides for us, His people, what we need, both for soul and for body, so that we can confess with the psalmist in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness will follow me all the days of my life. That goodness of God is His goodness to His chosen people in Christ. God does provide good gifts to all men, both elect and reprobate. God provides food and drink and health and strength and life and breath. God is the one who sends the sunshine and the rain both on the reprobate farmer and on the elect farmer, so that there is a harvest at the end of the year. God gives good gifts to all. But God does not give those good gifts to all with His blessing and in His goodness. God only gives those good gifts to His chosen people in Christ in His goodness and with His blessing. He gives those good gifts to the reprobate in His hatred and with His curse. So that, as Psalm 73 says, in the giving of those good gifts to the ungodly, God sets them on a slippery slope leading down into destruction, so that they're further without excuse. And Psalm 73 begins this way in verse 1, truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. What's revealed to us as God's people in the abundance that He provides is the goodness of God to us. We receive those good earthly things from the Lord with His blessing. That comes out in Psalm 65 in the structure of the two main parts of this psalm. In the first part, verses 1 through 5, Holy Spirit describes our salvation. Verse 1, praise waits for thee, O God, in Zion. That's His elect church. Verse 2, God hears our prayers. Verse 3, significantly, God purges away our transgressions. He forgives us of our sins against Him. Verse 4, it speaks of God choosing us, God causing us to approach unto Him and to dwell with Him in covenant fellowship, God's satisfying of us with His goodness in His house. Verse 5, it speaks of terrible things, awe-inspiring things that God does as the God of our salvation and righteousness for us. So that, as the end of verse 5 says, all of God's people throughout all the ends of the earth hope in, confide in, rely upon, and trust in Him as the God of our salvation. But then in the second half of this psalm, verses 6 to the end, there's a description of God's work in the creation. Verse 6, God's setting fast the mountains, establishing and creating them. Verse 7, His stilling of the seas and the waves. Verse 8, it speaks of the outgoings of the morning and the evening, God's sovereign rule of the sun and the earth. Verses 9 and 10, God's springtime work in sending the rain and planting the seed. And then, our text, of course, God's harvest time work. First, it might seem like there's a disconnect and a discord there. The first half is teaching us about our salvation. Now, why in the second half this extended description of God's power and sovereignty in creation? But there is a connection there. As God's people, what we see in the creation, including our receiving from the Lord, the good gifts that He supplies are evidence of His power, which is His power on our behalf, His sovereignty, which is for our good and for our salvation. The first half lays the foundation by which we can understand and receive the things that are mentioned in the second half of the psalm. It's only because we've been chosen by God. It's only because God has caused us to approach to Him and to dwell with Him in covenant fellowship. It's only because God has forgiven us of our sins in the Lord Jesus Christ that we can receive those good earthly gifts of food and drink and an abundant harvest from the hand of the Lord, in His goodness, and with His blessing. We don't deserve to receive those good things with His blessing. We deserve to receive them in His curse. Just like the unbelieving, reprobate world. It's only for Christ's sake, His blood, which was shed for us and for our sins, that even these good earthly gifts profit us, and that we receive them with God's blessing. What's revealed to us in God's provision for us? His love for us and His fatherly care for us for Jesus' sake. How then do we respond? We've received so much from the hand of the Lord, and we receive that with His blessing for Christ's sake and as a demonstration of His fatherly love and care for us. Our response is, and our response must be, glorifying and the praising of our God and Father. Verse 13 concludes, they shout for joy, they also sing. The reference there is, first of all, to the brute creation that's just been described. The brute creation sings and shouts for joy. There's a certain praise in the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the cattle to the sovereign Creator. There's a certain song that's sung by the wind through the abundant harvest and the rain that falls upon the earth to the sovereign God and Creator. All things in God's creation testify of His greatness and bring praise to Him. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The brute creation itself, the abundance of the harvest, testifies of the greatness and the glory of God. But what that reference at the end of verse 13 is also to is to the church. This is the song of the church that begins in verse 1. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. It's Zion, God's chosen church, who praises Him. God has so ordained all things that the things of the creation serve us. The abundance of the harvest, food and drink, and those earthly things God gives to serve us so that we may serve our God. We are rational, moral creatures with a mind and a consciousness and understanding, and we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ so that we can take the praise of the creation, bring that praise to our Creator and our Father. We shout for joy and we sing, having received the good gifts of the earth that God has provided, and we consecrate them to the service and the glory of God. We glorify God with those things in our wise, stewardly, sanctified use of them. And that arises out of a heart of genuine thanks to God. The word thanksgiving is not mentioned in the psalm, but it's certainly understood and implied there. To rejoice, to sing, to shout, to praise God truly from the heart arises out of a heart of gratitude. There's a world of men and women today who celebrate Thanksgiving Day and will talk about all that they're thankful for, but because they do not acknowledge the sovereign giver, they don't praise and glorify the God who's crowned the year with His goodness, they're not truly thankful and don't truly express thanksgiving today. There's a sense in which this day belongs to the church, to God's people. We who know and have tasted of the grace of God to us in Jesus Christ in the purging away of our transgressions, who receive all of these good earthly gifts from the hand of our Father who loves us and blesses us. In genuine thanksgiving of heart for all that God has given, we praise Him. We shout for joy, and we also sing, because the Lord has crowned the year with His goodness. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we call upon Thee as Thy needy and dependent children, who are dependent upon Thee at all times and for all things. Father, teach us to live in dependence. Keep us from pride. Keep us from forgetting about Thee in our abundance. But humble us and work in our hearts today and every day sincere thanksgiving for all that Thou dost do for us. May our thanksgiving be expressed in mouths that praise and lives that are lived to the glory of Thy name. Pray for Thy blessing upon the activities of this day. Bless our fellowship with family and with friends in the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep us in safety according to Thy will. Keep us from sin. Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.